As the world works to cope with the current COVID situation, brands will show their true colors. While some will seek to capitalize on the situation, others will seek to help. In this podcast, we're highlighting those brands who are going above and beyond to do what's right for their employees, their customers, and their community. It is these brands who will ultimately rise to the top as they show their hearts and build stronger and more meaningful relationships with people. It is our hope that by sharing these stories, not only can we spread goodness, but we can also cause others to follow suit. Welcome to Brand Heart.
Hello, welcome to Brand Heart. I'm Jeff Friedman, your host, and today I'm here with David Sneed, the CEO of the Handle and Hyden Society. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
Very good. Well, thanks for joining us today. Why don't we start with, for those who don't know what the Handle and Hyden Society is, if you can share a little bit about it, that would be great.
Yeah, H&H is the oldest performing arts organization in the country. We've been around 205 years. We're about to enter our 206th season. So we were around for the last pandemic in 1918.
You guys are pros at this.
That's right. Yeah. It's interesting. We've gone back and looked at how H&H dealt with it last time, and they didn't cancel any performances back then.
Wow.
They postponed a couple of rehearsals, and two of the soloists for the Messiah that year got sick with the flu, didn't perform, but all the audiences came, the houses were full, played at Symphony Hall back then, as we do now. And different approach where, you know, everyone's taking this time for sure. So anyway, H&H has that heritage, and the reason we're called Handle and Hyden is that the organization was founded in 1815, shortly after Haydn had died, actually. And so the idea was a group of merchants got together who loved music, and they wanted to have an organization that celebrated the old music of the time, which was Handel, and the new music of the time, which was Haydn. And so they really were at the forefront of trying to promote and perform this music in the U.S. in the early days. They actually commissioned a work from Beethoven, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
Alive when H&H was founded, and he never followed through on it, but we're really a very direct connection back to the composers of that era. Many of our musicians play instruments that all of them actually play period instruments. So what that means is that we're all about connecting the audience as closely as possible with what the composer, him or herself, heard and what their intent was. And we believe that there's a very strong difference between performing this music on instruments for which it was not intended, meaning orchestra, which is really more of an orchestra for later music, versus an orchestra that's really of instruments that the composer knew and wrote for at the time. It kind of wipes the cobwebs off the masterpieces and makes them fresh and clean, and in a way, actually very contemporary. We're not about being old, we're about new contemporary performances of this great music.
Right. Interesting. Well, that's great. And, you know, you've definitely been around for a while. And like you said, back in the Spanish flu time, you guys continued to performing. You're not doing that right now. I don't think Charlie Baker or other government official would be very happy with that. So how has this impacted you? What are you doing? What have you had to do to kind of change?
Well, we canceled the rest of our season. We do basically 1 week of concerts a month at Symphony Hall and Jordan Hall. The final two programs of the year at Symphony Hall, we had to cancel. Also canceled, our education program was deeply affected. We actually have 7 youth choruses with several hundred kids in those choirs. And they all are closely connected with the public schools, obviously. Schools had shut down. That program went online, as well as our adult performers and performances have gone online. So we had to really, you know, pivot from being this live music organization to being more of an online presence in the community for the music that we offer. So that's how it's affected us. It's kind of changed the way we do business, you know, in a fundamental way so that we can stay connected.
And in some ways it's, you know, it is doing business, but actually people, you know, pay for tickets and pay for performances when they see you live. You're putting all this stuff up on for free right now on your website. Is that true?
That's correct. And so we've done a great deal of fundraising in order to pay for that. We're obviously applying for all the federal funds that we can. We committed to fully compensate the musicians for the income they lost by the two canceled concerts. And we've been able to do that, which we're very proud of. But yeah, so it's a different business model for sure.
You know, I'm familiar with Handel and Haydn Society, and I know a lot of people really look forward to these performances. It's a part of their life. And I think you're giving them away on your website, and people look forward to that. And the connection that they have, like you said, just not just to the older instruments and the authenticity of this, but to the musicians themselves. And I've seen on your website, you actually have some of the musicians recording from their home. I mean, how much more intimate can you get than that? So maybe share a little bit about that and the musicians' participation in all of this right now.
Well, you know, I think when I came to this job 5 years ago, I spent a lot of time sort of thinking about audiences and connections and why H&H matters, you know, what we offer that really connects with people and adds value to their lives. And it really was this sense of connection, that an H&H concert, there really is more of a one-to-one relationship between the audience and the musicians because we're a smaller ensemble. Our players, when you see our concerts, really emote, they express, they connect with each other like a rock band. And it's an exciting experience, and people leave and talk about this, the sense of connection they feel at the concerts with the artists and musicians, with each other, and with the composers. So when we had to move online, it really seemed to us that the best way to sort of keep that connection was to really ask our musicians to record performances in their homes, introduce them, and then send them online to our audience. You know, we can't obviously do groups of musicians right now. So it's a tremendous amount of repertoire for individual instruments. And it's been a real, I think, great exploration for our musicians and our audience to hear and see these performances. We have our cello section is collaborating on doing the first Bach cello suite for unaccompanied cello. And there's five movements, I think, maybe six. Anyway, each musician is doing a movement. And putting it up. Then our principal horn, Todd Williams, did a great video about the natural horn, about the fact that the instruments that we perform on, that the composers wrote for, never had valves, never had all the modern things. So he shows his natural horn from the 1800s and performs a great piece of music on it. Very, very interesting. Like, just, you know, you and the computer screen are seeing this. It's much more close than if you're in the audience. So there's a, right, you said, intimacy to that experience. We also have our youth choruses have been putting up videos of their performances. And we are April 3 and 5 going to put up a complete Messiah performance from last fall for people to see. So yeah, it's a really great opportunity to continue the connection and keep creating fans for H&H.
Great. Well, I mean, what's amazing right now is, you know, we are all separate. We're all sitting in our homes. We can't see each other. But there is, you use the word intimacy, that's happening right now that we've never had before. I mean, we are seeing these musicians in their homes, right? And we're right up close. I mean, you don't get that close. Or even conversations that we're having on Zoom. You know, I'm in my bedroom, you're in your kitchen. We get to know each other. And I think this might be an opportunity benefit of everyone right now to create these connections and make them so much stronger than they've been because of this intimacy. And you're letting us do that with Handel and Haydn right on your website. So I think that's great.
Well, yeah, you know, I think it really gets back to that key question, why we matter. You know, why are we here? Why do we exist? What value do we offer? And it really has, it is about that very much. I think H&H, in the way we perform, the attitude of our musicians, the music we play, it really is about connecting. As I said before, connecting you with the artist, but also with the music and the composers. So just a different way of delivering that connection than we did before. And you're absolutely right. It's a real opportunity to see people in a different way and have more of a one-on-one relationship. And people are really loving it. We're getting great feedback.
And so for all the listeners listening to the show right now and want to hear the music, want to see the musicians, where do they go to get that?
It's a handelandhaydn.org. I could spell it out.
Yeah, please.
handelandhaydn.org. We also have active Facebook presence and Instagram and Twitter. But really, we have a page or a website called The Listening Room. And if you go there, you'll see all the content that we have. There's more going up all the time. You mentioned the musicians earlier. I think that was one of the really, really exciting, if you can call it that, in this, you know, situation we're in, things that happened was that when we went down, when our concerts were canceled, we had about 20 musicians that voluntarily came up and said, you know what, we want to keep the connection. We want to put something up there for our audiences. And will you help us do that? So this really came from them. It's a fantastic group we have.
That's incredible. I think people's true colors come out in times like this, and it's amazing to watch people step up and do what they can to help other people. It's really, as difficult as the time it is, it's an inspiring time, I think, for everyone, which is, by the way, why we created the show, to share those stories. But with that, any advice you'd give to others, David, how they get through this, what things they could be doing, whether it's other organizations like yours, entertainment or other organizations, how do you respond and how should they be acting right now?
Well, I think all of us who are in nonprofits or for-profits really have a mission and a purpose, which is about serving community, customers, audiences. That's why we're in business. That's why people support us. So I just think it's maintaining that vision, kind of why you're here, why you matter, and not giving up and saying, well, the economy is tanking, people are unemployed, there's nothing we can do. There's always something you can do. And I think people really need these moments of inspiration, these days. There's a great website, by the way, you may know about it, Reasons to Be Cheerful. Have you heard about this?
No, I don't know that one.
Okay, so it's on a website, it's actually a blog, but it's founded by David Byrne of the Talking Heads.
Oh, of course.
And so a couple of years ago, he just started hearing all these stories about people around the world who are doing great things to help communities that people weren't learning about. So he started to create this feed called Reasons to Be Cheerful. And every week you get an email with some great things that people are doing around the world to make things better. And I look forward to that every week. And I think we can all do that, in our own way, promote Reasons to Be Cheerful.
That is great. I will sign up. I know there's another one going out around right now. John Krasinski started SGN, which is some good news from The Office. And he is, if you jump on YouTube, you can find his some good news video, which is kind of fun. Well, David, thank you very much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time, your leadership, your inspiration, and everything you're doing. For those listeners who are interested, please go to handelandhyden.com. That's HandelandHyden, actually .org, not .com, right?
Correct, yeah. HAYDN.org, yes.
.org. And by the way, if you're listening, David's not going to ask you to do it, but I will. If you're so inclined to make a donation and help the organization, I'm sure there's a donate button on there as well. And let's all help one another in this time. So thanks for listening, David. Thanks for being on the show. And until next time, thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Brand Heart. We hope that today's episode inspired you to spread goodness and help those in need. If you know of a brand going above and beyond to help others during this time, please share it with us via Twitter at @ShowBrandHeart. Brand Heart is a production of Small Army, a Finn Partners company. To learn more, visit smallarmy.net or finnpartners.com.